You're listening to the Wonders Podcast, Episode 5. Love is the magic word for the first Wonders podcast of 2020. You will hear it come back again and again in today's episode because love represents the glue that binds together all of the dreams, aspirations, and experiences of our podcast guest, Damita Pressel. She is a Viennese woman to the core, with dirndls, waltzing balls, and a typical cosmopolitan attitude to match. She found out about Romania from Harry Potter, but it was love that immersed her in this culture for good. In today's special New Year's episode, we will talk about Damita's love for Bucharest, why she thinks Romanian is an easy language to master, political corruption, the Colectiv case, and more. We hope you enjoy the conversation. Hey, Damita.
Hi, Daniela.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm very excited. How are you?
I'm also very excited. Thank you so much for joining today's episode.
Of course, you're welcome.
To get started, of course, we are going to talk a lot about your adventures in Romania and how you met people there, what you did, a couple of pieces of advice that you would have for internationals and everything. But first, First things first, how did you get to know Romania? Like, what was your first more solid, serious contact with the Romanian culture?
So I think the first time that I heard about Romania was in Harry Potter, where obviously the dragons were from Romania. And then I think Ron's brother lives in Romania to train dragons or whatnot. And that was, I think I was eight or something. That was the first time that I came to realize Romania was a country. But my first serious contact with Romania and Romanian culture was my ex-boyfriend, whom I met in 2015. His name was Alexandru, very Romanian. And I remember I met him on Tinder, and he had a sentence written there in Romanian. It was like, hello to all my fellow, like, compatriots. And I remember, like, swiping him and thinking, I think he's Romanian. And then I identified the language correctly back then, which I was very proud of. But I didn't know anything else about the country. I had a vague idea. I remember knowing that I thought Romanian sounded very nice because I thought it sounded like a little bit like Italian, but nicer, in my opinion. But I had very little previous knowledge of anything about the country at all. So Alex was really the person who got me interested, obviously, because when you care about someone very much and you think you might want to one day start a family with them, you want to know everything about them. You want to learn about their background and their sort of what their history and what made them who they are. And so I took an interest because I obviously, to know small part who you are is sort of determines maybe the wrong word, but influenced by where you come from. And so I started taking interest in Romania, the country and the language and the culture. And that's how I started.
First of all, I find it super amazing that you connected Romania to the dragons in Harry Potter. That is something that I don't think I've ever heard in my life.
Really? No, seriously, no. Ron has a brother. His name's Charlie. And I believe he even lives in Romania because there's a certain type of dragon that comes from there and he trains them, I think.
I'm telling you, like, nobody told me that.
Yeah, seriously, in the Harry Potter universe, definitely, I can't remember exactly who, like, what it is, but there's definitely a connection that there's dragons in Romania. And so I was probably eight when I read the series. So that was the first time that I realized that Romania was, obviously I had seen it on maps before, but that was the first time that I consciously registered Romania as a country.
Which is interesting because in theory, Austria and Romania are not that far away from each other.
They're not. I was raised by a single mother. We didn't travel very much when I was growing up. And I actually don't think that I'm trying to think. I went to Greece once when I was a child, very, very young. but we, and to Tunisia once, but we barely traveled at all. So, and obviously when you learn the map, you learn France and Italy, but no one ever comes and says like, look, this country right here is Romania. Everyone, when you're a child, you know, people say, you know, this one is shaped like a boot. That's Italy. And, you know, and this is the UK, it's an island. So you have these, yeah, you have these mental references for various countries, but Romania isn't one of them.
Yeah. They should say like, look, this country is shaped like an awkward fish opening its mouth.
They could say
that's basically that would, how we learn it.
That would work. Yeah, that would work. But for some reason, no one ever told me that. So I didn't know the awkward fish until until much later.
Very, very cool. In your experience, because you did mention the fact that, well, the more serious contact that you had was because of Alexandru, because of your ex-boyfriend. But you also had Romanian friends around you. For example, we both went to the debate club in Vienna at the university, and I know for sure that you met some Romanians there as well.
Yeah, I did. So my first Romanian friend, this is going to sound crazy, but my very, very first boyfriend, like high school boyfriend, you know, like the kind where you hold hands and nothing ever really happens, but it's just like you tell everyone you have a boyfriend and then you buy him a souvenir on the class trip that you go to. That's the extent of it. his mother actually, his parents are from Romania. He grew up in Austria, but his parents are from Romania. So I suppose I don't know whether he qualifies as Romanian or when you can say that someone really is from a country or isn't, but he had Romanian roots as well. And then when I joined debating, of course, I met Miri, who is one of my best friends to this day, and she's from Timișoara. But you know how it is, like when it's a fling or a flirt or it's just a friendship, you take an interest in the person, but you don't get to the bottom of them quite as much as when you assume that maybe one day or that you might share your life with them, you know?
Definitely. I mean, the relationships are different for sure.
Exactly. And so that's the context in which I really, for the first time, touched upon Romanian culture to a deeper extent.
And that's also when you got to Romania the first time, when you got to visit the country, right?
No, I visited Romania for a debating tournament in Cluj at Babes Bulla University. And this was before I met Alex. This was in 2014 or something like that. And I drank the water. That was a mistake. I drank the tap water. I should not have drunk the tap water. So if anyone's listening that hasn't gone to Romania yet, just don't do it. You know, I'm a privileged Austrian. I was like, this can't be that bad. It's a European Union country. I'm just going to drink it. Don't do that.
Not in Cluj. I think like for other cities, it really depends on the city. And actually, this is something that has been changing throughout the years. Because I remember, for example, growing up in Brasov, we had no problem. I mean, obviously, the water comes directly from the mountain. All is good. It actually tasted very nice. You got the minerals that you needed. But nowadays, I also noticed that even in Brasov, like this supposed really great mountain city and all is natural and green, the chlorine is a bit too much.
Yeah, so for me, that was definitely not a nice experience. But other than that, I didn't get to see much of Romania because, as you know, debating tournaments are super stressful, and you barely, between rounds and socials, you barely, between the competitions and the parties, you don't really get to see much of the country. But what I did love, because we don't have it in Austria, are these hypermarkets, these giant supermarkets like Auchan and Carrefour that I knew from France, where you can just get everything under the sun, like everything that you dream of, basically. And I like that because we don't have it here. And it's sort of that, I guess that's what makes it exciting for me. And so I went, that debating tournament, I went and I bought myself a mug. It's a nice flowery tea mug that I still drink from. So that was my first Romanian souvenir.
It wasn't Dracula fangs, like plastic.
It wasn't Dracula anything. It was just a very girly pink princessy tea mug. But you're right. The second time that I went to Romania and the first time that I actually got to experience the country and the culture was Christmas 2015. Yeah. I went to Bucharest to visit with Alex to see his family. And that's when I really sort of started to get in touch sort of with the culture.
And did you have any expectations about the trip? Like, did Alex prepare you in any way, or did you research something?
Well, you know, It's so funny because I was learning these nice. So I had started learning. I met him in April of 2015 or March, April of 2015. And I had started learning Romanian in May that year because he had told me, well, first of all, it doesn't take me much to start learning a language. I absolutely love languages. I have learned, I believe, probably 9 or 10 so far. I don't speak all of them. I can hold a conversation in 4 or 5, but it doesn't take much to get me into a language. It takes, you know, it doesn't take much of an excuse. And Alex's grandmother didn't speak English or German. So I said, well, okay, then I have to learn Romanian because, you know, I want to meet her and it would be sad not to be able to talk to her. And so I started learning these really nice sentences, you know, like I don't know, mă numesc Demita, și am 22 de ani back then, și lucrez la cercetărie, și blah, 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 you know, mâncare are un gust foarte bun, blah, blah, blah. Sorry if I made a mistake, but sort of that's what I remember. And Alex told me, you're not going to get very far with those. Like people are going to push and shove you on the subway and you're going to need to be a lot less nice than that.
He's already introducing you to the Bucharest vibe. That is amazing.
Exactly. And also from his, and that's not just him, a lot of Romanians that I've talked to since. And I always get this impression that while there is national pride, there's also the sense of our country doesn't work. You know, our country is kind of shit, for want of a better word. Like our country doesn't work, you know, there's corruption everywhere and it's terrible and the conditions and poverty and this and that. So,
and people are terrible and the system doesn't
people
work.
Are rude, and exactly. Look at people are exactly. Alex always said, like, people in Austria are so nice. Romanians are not that nice.
Which is weird because in Vienna, Austrians, like the Viennese Austrians, do have a reputation for not being the kindest or most courteous.
First of all, I am Viennese and I'm fucking adorable, just to make that clear. Secondly, yes, the countryside is superficially in this country probably more polite, but there's a lot of, you know, nosiness and behind your back and these things that go on. So I know this because my mom is from Lower Austria and the grass isn't greener. You know, it's just they're different. Of course, anywhere like cities are always going to be a different environment than the countryside. But anyway, so Alex prepared me for this sort of very doggy dog kind of world where, you know, you have to look out for yourself and people are rude and people are mean and this and that. So I flew over there with kind of, obviously I was nervous about meeting his family and I was nervous generally, but definitely he undersold it. I absolutely loved Bucharest. I fell in love with it immediately and he definitely undersold it to me. Although having said that, I have to tell you this one story because I get there and I'm expecting, you know, everyone to be really unfriendly. And I was really tired also that day. And so in the evening we went to get food before going to his family's apartment. And so we're at Carrefour. And I see these macarons and I'm like, amazing. I definitely want some of those because I love macarons and like had a long trip and everything. So I go there and I look at the lady and I'm like, and I forgot change. I literally, the word changed, like just, I wanted 5 of them, but I forgot the word. So I pointed at them and I said, patru vă rog, because that's all I could think of. And then I think she asked me, what color did I want them? But I didn't understand the question. And then she repeated the question like in a really rude way. And she was like, you know, how stupid are you? Why don't you know what I'm asking you? And I was so tired and overwhelmed that I was just like, I started crying and I called Alex and I was like, Alex, can you help me?
Oh my God.
But that was the only person who wasn't perfectly nice to me ever since, like I've traveled to Bucharest a couple of times since, and that was the only person that wasn't perfectly nice to me. Everyone else has always been extremely nice, extremely welcoming. And because also I make an effort in Romanian, so people really appreciate that, I feel. And also people tend to be very surprised, you know, like when you say, oh, you're learning Italian or Spanish, everyone's like, ah, yes, sí, sí, claro. But when you say you're learning Romanian, it's like, what? Why would you do that? And so I feel like the appreciation is there. Twice as much. And so people have been very, very kind to me every time I visited.
That's so cute. The meltdown is amazing. But then, so how did the rest of the trip go? How did you experience Bucharest?
I love the Christmas lights. Honestly, this might not be, you know, they might not be environmentally friendly. I don't know how much, I don't know how much power they take to keep up, but they're gorgeous. Everyone always says Vienna is so beautiful at Christmas, but Bucharest, it's like a fairy tale. I love the Christmas markets. I love the, yeah, I just love the atmosphere in winter. It was absolutely beautiful. We went to, you know, we went to Casa Popoluli, and we went to have Sarmale, and we did all of the, we went to the mall and all of the stuff that you have to do. And we walked through the city, and I discovered Cărturești, which was incredible. Cărturești Carousel, which is, I think, honestly, one of my favorite places on the planet.
You can explain what Cărturești Carousel is for the people who don't know.
Yes. So it's a bookstore. Cărturești is a chain of bookstores. And so I think they were pretty new when Alex showed me the building for the first time. Something else used to be in that building, and they took a building in the old town of Bucharest and they renovated it and they made it into the most beautiful bookstore that you can possibly imagine. So they don't just have books, they also have like stationery, they even have tea, they have these gorgeous journals, they have art, they have music, so like CDs and vinyls and these things. And in the first floor, like in the top floor, they have a beautiful bistro. And truly, it's one of the most impressive, like I'm a sucker for bookstores. I love bookstores, but I honestly, yeah, I always end up way overspending when I go there. And it's such a beautiful place. If you're in Bucharest, you absolutely have to go there. It makes you feel happy.
And going on that note, what are your favorite places in Bucharest? So aside from the Cărturești, what are your favorite places to go?
Oh, God. It's been a while, but okay, so going back to the shopping thing, the mall at Cotroceni, I mean, obviously, like, it's not in any kind of way valuable culturally or whatever, but if you're from Austria and the stores in your country close at 6 p.m., people don't shop for fun, then I feel like this might be sort of a reaction that Romania had to communism, like a counter reaction. But I feel like the shopping culture in Romania is close to what it is in the US. You have these massive malls that include like rides and roller coasters, and they include like cinemas and food courts and even ice skating and these things. And if you come from a country like me where that just isn't a thing, it just seems incredibly impressive, even though, of course, it's very capitalistic and it's very, in the end, it's not particularly something that I would say is necessary or again, culturally valuable, but it's just the scale of it is just very impressive to someone who isn't used to it.
That is something that Romanians in general complain about regarding the amount of malls. So, for example, I do know that in certain cities, they have overbuilt malls in terms of number. And now people, of course, they do not have the spending capacity to just keep all the malls on a functioning level. And Romanians are not convinced. Obviously, if you're in Bucharest, going to the mall is a leisure time activity. That is 100% for sure.
It makes sense. But to me, it was mind blowing to see, really. Other than that, let me think. Well, there's Maison des Crêpes. They make amazing pancakes. I'm going to talk a lot about food. I hope that's okay with everyone. There's this place called Linea, closer to the moon, which I didn't get a chance to try. So I don't know what their food is like, but I follow them on Instagram and the sunsets up there are amazing. I that's something that's on my list.
Yeah, this is a new rooftop bar that they opened.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure if it wasn't this year or maybe last year or something like that. But indeed, like their Instagram page is something else.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to try it, but I want to next time I go. The Tama. I love the Tama because I love Tama in general. And the one in Bucharest has a bar inside of the pool, which if you ask me the definition of heaven, it would be a pool bar with a bookstore next to it and, you know, possibly some chocolate somewhere.
So maybe the Tama people will listen into this and make some modifications to their current plans.
Yeah, yes. So if you're listening, I would like books, please, like waterproof books. I don't know how you're going to do that, but find a way. But otherwise, yeah, it's very cool. There's so many parks. There's so many big parks like Herăstrău and the other one that's in, I think...
Chișmigiu?
Yes, thank you, Chișmigiu. And what I love about those is like the benches and the clocks and the sort of, I'm going to call them accessories. They're so much more beautiful. Even the playgrounds for kids are so much more colorful and beautiful than they are here in Vienna. Vienna has some very nice parks, but you have these gorgeous, elaborate, like decorative benches and clocks and these things. It's very nice.
It does feel classy.
Yes, it feels exactly. It feels very classy. Otherwise, yeah, I just remember really enjoying strolling around the old town And just the vibe of the city also. I always get a manicure and a pedicure when I'm there because it's so much cheaper and the quality is so much better than anything that you could find in Austria. And in fact, in Austria, when I get a manicure, pedicure done, I make sure that it's by a, not specifically Romanian, but Eastern European, because you guys know what you're doing. Like, you really do when it comes to these things. And there's no culture. There's not this culture of self-care and of, yeah, beauty, I would say, for women in Austria.
Oh, the Romanian ladies love their nails.
That's the thing. Like, in Romania, there's much more this, like, it's acceptable to get your makeup done just for a party, or like, no one blinks an eye if you do your nails. Here, it's like, oh, what, you go to the salon to do your nails? Like, that's weird. Like, how are you gonna milk the cows with those, you know?
Serious problems, guys.
So you know, in Austria, I always feel a little bit shallow for having that as one of my hobby, or like as something that just gives me joy. But in Romania, it's the most normal thing in the world. So I feel like, yes, I'm a girl. I'm allowed to be a girl. Woo, I'm going to get a manicure. So that's always something that I do. And if there's a place that I can think of, I will let you know. But I think those were like my top ones for now. I feel I felt terrible because I hadn't included anything cultural, and it made me sound like a shallow person. But I loved the two museums that I discovered last time. There was the Romanian Literature Museum, which I found amazing, and there was an exhibit on Eminescu, and there were a lot of original manuscripts that were shown, and there was also his connection to Vienna. So he spent a lot of time living in Vienna, and actually I think he died in Vienna. Anyway, what I definitely know is that he was cared for when he was sick. He was cared for in a home in Heiligenstadt in Vienna, or in a hospital, and that's where I work. So he definitely spent some time in his life near where I work. And there's also near my old school, there's a memorial plaque of him that commemorates him. And so finding out these ways that, you know, this most famous of Romanian writers is tied into my hometown, I really enjoyed that like journey. And the other museum that I thought was really, really cool is you guys have a museum of old, in Bucharest, there's a museum of old maps. I absolutely loved it. There's maps of Europe and of Romania dating back to centuries and centuries. And I found this old map of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, basically, where I found my mother's birthplace dating back to 1800, something like that. And I really also loved discovering that. There we go. Now I've enumerated some smart things as well, so that no one can accuse me of only going to Bucharest for the tam and the manicures.
Yes, and I have elucidated the mystery about Eminescu's death. So he died, quote Wikipedia, at 4 a.m. on the 15th of June, 1889, at Caritas Institutes in Bucharest.
In Bucharest, okay. But okay, then he died in Bucharest, but he definitely spent some time being cared for, I think, in Vienna.
Yes, yes. He was sickly, especially towards the end of his life.
Yeah. Another thing, you guys have a lot of stray cats in Bucharest, and that is something that I appreciate. I know it's terrible for the cats, but they're so cute.
I mean, it depends, because quite a lot of the cats, they do get food from the many people. So, for example, there are these stories where one cat would have like four owners, but none of them know about each other. So then the cat would just go have four breakfasts, four lunches, and four dinners.
Cheeky cat. Obviously, I think it would, I mean, I assume that it would be preferable for any cat to have a proper home. But yes, like, as you say, a lot of them don't seem, you know, hungry or anything like that. And it's just nice to, yeah, and a lot of them are also quite friendly. So I would have taken five of them in already if it wasn't so expensive to get them to Austria and such a hassle, because you have to have them tested over there. And you have to, I found this one cat that I totally fell in love with. And I was seriously considering bringing her, but you have to get them tested over there, and then you have to arrange for the transport, and it's really expensive and really complicated. So I decided I can't do it because I'd already booked my flight back. But
the opportunity is always open. Trust me, there's a lot of pets in general that I think would, well, cats, dogs as well, horses. Like, Romania just has a lot of wildlife, a lot of nature, a lot of pets, like formerly known pets and stray dogs and all of that. And but yeah, so you went to Bucharest, you saw into Cluj, and also to you saw a bit of Romania in terms of stuff to do, but also the people are pretty important as well to any experience. And in this case, you had quite a personal connection to a Romanian. So I am wondering, how the relationship was from this cultural perspective. So for example, as an international pair, maybe certain cultural elements may have affected the communication style or opinions. How did it work for you guys? Did you notice that cultural tidbits of opinions or things that you do or things that you find acceptable?
So first of all, what I really, really loved is that Alex was really romantic. You know, he was, and you don't get this from Austrians. Seriously, in Austria, if an Austrian guy tells you, like, you're quite cool, that's basically a declaration of love and undying commitment. Austrian men are cold as fuck, like, seriously. There's exceptions, of course, but in general, Austrians can be quite reserved. And in my experience, people from, you know, Romania or even Italy or Spain or other places aren't. So that was very nice. I enjoyed, he would, for example, never let me pay ever. Like in Austria, it's quite common now to split the bill when you date. But when we were dating, of course, when we were together, we would split things fairly. But when we were dating, he wouldn't let me pay for a thing. And, you know, he showed up the first time he came to my place for dinner. He showed up with a bouquet of flowers. And so I feel like these things are, I don't know if it's a Romanian thing or I don't know if it's, but definitely compared to what you get from Austrians, as a woman, you feel more desired and more, you know, nicer. Yeah, you know, of course, you know, when you're in a relationship with someone, of course you split costs for everything and blah, blah. But I like the dating stage. I like the him paying for stuff stage, the him holding doors open, the him buying you flowers, the sort of I like that. And so that was very nice. I assume you would get the same thing in other, you know, maybe in Italy or Spain or I don't know, other countries that are maybe less emotionally challenged than Austria. but yeah, that's one aspect that I really enjoyed. He was also quite warm and quite, yeah, but that's maybe not, I don't know in how far that is cultural. In terms of his sense of humor, though, I found that he thought it was acceptable to laugh at a lot of stuff that I did not think was acceptable at all to laugh at.
Oh, yes. The dark humor is strong.
Like overweight children. or one time we had a fight in the subway in Budapest because he had likened something to a concentration camp. And in Austria, you don't do that. Like, that's not something that we do, you know? And he, like, jokingly made a comment like, oh, we're not in a lager or something like that, which to anyone, I know this, I studied in the UK, you know, to any or to a lot of other cultures, that's not a big deal. And people do make jokes like these and they're inappropriate, but they're not, they probably don't make you a terrible person. But to an Austrian, that's like, oh my God, you can't say that because you just can't say that.
The history is too recent.
Yeah.
We have a past.
Exactly. So definitely in terms of sense of humor and also sometimes in terms of, despite what I just said about liking the dating part and liking the part where the guy still pays for stuff, I am actually quite a big believer in feminism and managing relationships in a way that you basically just approach each other on the same level and take each other seriously in these things. And not that he didn't do that, but we had some fights about gender roles, also in the sense of how would we teach our children, you know? How would we, when our son starts dating, when our daughter starts dating, how do we speak to them about these things? And maybe back then also, I was very young, I was 22, I was very naive, very idealistic. I had a very left liberal sort of position on these things. And he had a maybe a little bit more Romanian perspective on these things, in the sense that I feel like in Romania, gender roles are still more entrenched than in Austria. It's bad in Austria. There's still a lot of work to do here. But I feel like in Romania, women study computer science and math and these things. In Austria, women don't. I feel like communism, as terrible as it was, may have acted as an equalizer there because everyone worked and everyone had to contribute. And so it was, and so that was never something that was called into question. In Austria, we struggle hugely with that, but then I feel like certain, or at least I'm talking about my little Viennese liberal bubble, you know, this might be very different in other parts of the country, but at least in my bubble before I met Alex, there were certain ideas that he held that were uncommon in my group of friends or in my, you know, sort of the circles that I frequented. And that was challenging sometimes. But so yeah, that made for some arguments. It would be boring if you agreed on everything, right?
Absolutely. No, and it is true. Like, for example, this idea of what is the role of the woman versus what is the role of the man. This was actually something that an executive, I think, from Microsoft did say in the media recently, that they do admire the fact that Romanians seem to have a more, well, they would call it balanced participation in the sciences.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's amazing, you know, and I think it's so, and this is something that really bugs me about Austria. And I mean, I can't really talk. I mean, I studied psychology and journalism, so, you know, I'm part of the problem, but, and I know so many Romanian women, badass women who like went to study computer science and business and all of these really tough, hardcore subjects. And I feel like that's a real issue in Austria, and I can't quite pinpoint why.
To a certain extent, that is also cultural. I mean, for sure, communism has its own part of the narrative, because obviously, like you said, during the communist times, it didn't matter. Women and men, like especially during the urbanization period of the 60s and 70s, women and men came to the city, and obviously the old customs of the woman takes care of the children, the man goes and works the field, were all of a sudden they were not needed. So there was a discovery period of what we actually want, what can I do? But I do feel that this was also from before. As much as Romania is a traditionalist country, we did have women that were just ballsy enough to go to universities, like to the polytechnical universities in Munich, or go into diplomacy as well, with going into Paris and Berlin as well. I feel like this kind of rebel, I will do what I want power was always in the culture somehow. It's just that also the opposite is also true, because at the same time, we do have women that they do know that they are boy toys, putting it very directly, and they will go to the extreme of having, I don't know how many plastic surgeries and looking perfectly just to get the attention of guys and be set off for life. I mean, I remember that even in university, I had some colleagues and I went to foreign languages. So obviously the ratio of girls was very high, who were saying that, yeah, they would prefer to have a sugar daddy out of university. And they were very open about it. They were like, yeah, no, I'm getting myself pretty and everything, and I hope that this will happen. And that didn't happen, because the people, as far, for example, some of the people went on to have PhDs. But I do see that in a way, this narrative goes into Romania's narrative of it's a country of extremes in a way.
Yeah, so whatever caused this cultural, I couldn't tell you whether Austria had these sorts of rebellious women that went and studied math or engineering. I don't know the history of feminism or of women's rights in this country well enough for that. But yeah, that was something that struck me. Another thing that struck me that's sort of along those lines that I personally really like, but it's that's probably up for debate, is that in Romania, people still seem to actually get married and start families and things like that. So which again, in my Viennese liberal blah, blah, blah environment is not that common anymore.
People don't commit anymore, or not as easily.
That's the thing. People don't commit. People don't. A lot of people don't want to get married. They don't see the point. A lot of people don't want to have children because it's too stressful or whatever. And I feel like in Romania, even in the urban areas, even amongst educated or more educated, like university educated people, that's still a thing that you do. And personally, I think that strongly aligns with the values that I have and with things that I want for my life. I feel like in Austria, if I want that, I may have to go looking in more more conservative circles, if that makes sense.
Definitely. But then I think it also matters how things happen. But indeed, I did also notice that in Romania, people do get married. Like the waves of emancipation has started there as well, if you can call it emancipation. Like this idea of we're not going to get married exactly the way that our parents wanted to, or at the ages that our parents wanted to. But I do feel that at least with the couples that I have seen, the idea of let's build something together and let's be there for each other is still stronger than, for example, in Western countries. The human connection is still there.
Exactly. And that's something that I personally really, really appreciate.
Did you also see that in your relationship?
I mean, Alex thought that you should get married if you have children. Otherwise, it doesn't really make sense to just get married without children. And he did want kids. So that was never a question with us. Like, I feel like at this point in 2019 in Vienna, first you have to clear up with someone like, okay, are you monogamous? Are you willing to be in a monogamous relationship? Do you see, you know, like these very basic things that 10 years ago, no one would have asked. It was just like, okay, this guy kissed me, so I guess we're boyfriend and girlfriend now. And now it's like, what do you think about polyamory? And do you want a goth wedding? It's like
different discussions. Yes,
exactly. I feel like in that sense, Romania is less complicated, let's say.
Yeah. Romania still has some ties with its more traditional past, I would think. And at the same time, I do believe that in Romania, the feeling of being together, it can be a bit deeper.
Like I said, don't compare it to Austria, because we are cold. Like, not me personally, but generally speaking, there is no culture of Austrians can be quite cold. Austrians have a very sort of flat emotional curve, if you want to call it that. It's very, you know, oh, I just built a house, so I'm happy. Oh, my wife left me, so I'm sad. You know, it's not, there's no exuberance, there's no despair. It's just like, it sort of oscillates between fine and fine. So that's very nice when I go abroad, in Romania, among other places, but also sort of anywhere else, is just people are a lot more in touch with their feelings, I almost want to say. Like, I feel like that's the... Austria, oh my God, I keep saying all these negative. Austria is a great country. Like, seriously, it's great. I love it. Vienna's great. You should come visit, but just don't expect any, you know, overflowing displays of emotion, because that's just not our thing.
No, for sure. And again, every people has their own way of manifesting themselves and their own culture. So I don't think it's necessarily something good or bad. It's more about preferences, because I'm very sure that some people are annoyed with the fact that Romanians can be loud, or that Romanians can take more, I don't know, like in traffic, that they are just insane.
For sure. You guys drive like Italians. Absolutely. Yeah. I would never drive in Romania. I mean, I barely want to drive in Austria, but I would never drive in Romania.
Understandable. But coming back to the relationship part, I do have a question about that, like a last question about that. Off the bat, what advice would you have for people who are dating Romanians, or what kind of pearls of wisdom did you pick up throughout your relationship and you'd want to share with people?
Yeah, don't believe them when they say their country's terrible. It's actually pretty great, because it's actually pretty great to visit. Of course, I realize that it may have, there may be a lot of issues when you have to live there, but it's a great country to visit. And other than that, get ready for sarmale. Get ready for
for food and homemade general alcohol.
Yes. Get ready for a lot of food at Christmas. They have this weird thing where they fry the skin of a pig for Christmas, and but you don't need it. You can just say mulțumesc, nu.
I do not consent to Juma.
Yeah. But otherwise, I don't actually know how much of a difference culture makes in relationships. Like, a lot of this stuff is going to be very individual. And when you get to know someone on such a close level, I don't know that culture is actually going, you know, people are so different and culture is such a small part of who they are. I don't know that I can really, that you could really sort of give advice. Definitely the advice that I would give also is learn Romanian children's songs. There's so many of them with elephants in them, which is another thing that I love, because in Austria, like in German, we don't have a single children's song that has an elephant in them. Ours are really boring. Ours have, like, you know, bears and stuff. You guys have elephants. That's amazing. So definitely that's something, like, if you're considering having a family with a Romanian, get ready for very cool children's songs.
Perfect. Although the sarmale advice, I honestly think that's on point. I'm sorry. If you are dating a Romanian, you will come to their families and most of the families know how to cook, or they will take you to places where you will eat a lot. So
yeah. And the food's very, very good. I'm not sure I'm a fan of the pickling everything, like all of the vegetables. I'm not sure you need to pickle every single vegetable, but otherwise I really enjoy Romanian food.
And you also mentioned that Romanians are not necessarily the best PR spokespeople for their own country. How did you notice this, and what is your opinion about it? Like, where do you think it comes from, and how do you react to it when a Romanian person starts talking smack?
I have several Romanian friends by now. Some of them I met in connection with, I didn't meet any of them in connection with Alex. I met them sort of going along. There's Larisa from Brasov, who's a very good friend of mine. There's Miri, whom I've already mentioned. There's Vlad. And sort of all of them, I understand, obviously, that you have a completely different perspective on a country, whether you visited a couple of times and you liked it or whether you have to live there. I understand that if you've lived there and if you've seen a system that is corrupt, that is broken, where you can work hard and still not reap the rewards, or not work at all and be the son of somebody and therefore have it better than everyone else, I understand how frustrating that must be. And having grown up in a country that works reasonably well, we have some issues, but there's, of course, they're nothing compared to Romania. I probably can't fully empathize with that. And I probably can't fully, you know, take their place. So I completely understand that, that people, you know, there's always this feeling of, oh, I don't, there's always, whenever I talk to someone about this, there's always this feeling of, oh, I don't really, I don't really follow Romanian politics anymore, or it really depresses me to follow Romanian politics, or I don't really go home that much anymore. These kinds of things. And I always think, on the one hand, it's really sad because I've gotten to know Romania, or I mean, I've only ever been to Bucharest and to Cluj, so I haven't really gotten to know Romania, but I've gotten to know sides of the country that are so beautiful. And here are all these people that obviously have a very conflicted relationship to their home country. But on the other hand, it's really not for me to judge. Like, I understand that, yeah, like I said, I understand that it's completely different whether you visit a country or you live there. And I completely understand that some things can be frustrating when you know that your country is being governed in an inefficient way, or when you know that, you know, there's so much more potential there that isn't being tapped because the administration is making mistakes. Then I understand that that's frustrating, and I understand that people don't have many good things to say about that anymore.
I think people are losing their patience. I think that plays a big factor into the way that Romanians, especially the ones that have gone abroad and are living abroad, myself included at this point in time, there's just a lot of frustration and not wanting to sacrifice yourself again, because that's actually something that the previous generations used to say. Oh, we're just a sacrificial generation. We are the ones who are going to, you know, make sure that we're going to suffer now, but we're going to make sure that our children will have a better future. And of course, there's a whole other discussion with the 1989 revolution, where that was actually one of the slogans of the student groups. And then, well, 30 years later, we are still, yeah, at square one, I would say.
Exactly. And so that's why, who am I to come from the outside, you know, after all of this history, after all of this shared cultural struggle, who am I to come from the outside from a fairly privileged country and say, oh, you're seeing it all wrong, because I went to Bucharest and I loved it. So you should be more positive, you know, like, that's not my place. And I'm sure that there are many reasons why a lot of Romanians feel very conflicted towards the country.
On the other side, I would say that they should have a more balanced outlook. Of course, I'm not talking about personal experiences that have happened to them and then they got a completely negative opinion about Romania. I'm not talking about extreme cases. But I do feel like there is this sort of exaggeration of hating on Romania. People can go too far, as well as they can go too far in saying and defending their country. There are also before there used to be the majority of people that used to praise Romania and say that it's the most beautiful place, that we have so much nature, such good food, the people are so hospitable and all that. Now it's a bit on the flip side, of course, because there are also around 4+ million people outside of the country, and they left mostly because they feel they cannot build a future only in the country. So it's interesting to see this dynamic, how things change.
No, that makes total sense. And of course, whenever you speak to someone, you're right in saying that whenever you speak to someone outside of Romania about Romania, you're obviously speaking to someone who left. So that's the point of view that you're going to get. That makes total sense. Yeah.
And thinking about politics, and specifically about Romanian politics, you are pretty connected to what is happening in the country as well, right?
Yeah. Well, I started taking an interest when this happened in 2015. The horrible fire at Club Collectif happened in 2015. So this is while Alex and I were together. And he said, you know, and he said one day, you know, this terrible thing happened and I'm going to go protest. And so I, of course, I took an interest. Alex is a very peaceful guy. So if he goes out to protest, you know, there's something wrong. And so, you know, I took an interest and he explained everything to me. And up to that point, I didn't really understand. Of course, I knew what corruption was. And I knew, obviously, in Austria, like, for sure, we have a lot of small scale corruption. And there's a lot of stuff going on for sure that shouldn't be. And you know, we're not the most transparent country in these things. But for corruption to actually kill people is something so abhorrent that it made it, like, I remember it making an impression on me. He told me the story and I thought, you know, how can this happen in a country that's a member of the European Union? How is something like this possible?
Maybe you can explain what actually happened at the Collective from your point of view. Like, what information did you get?
So the gist of it that I remember is that dozens of people died because the fire safety regulations were not being adhered to properly in this club. And because the club was able to, sort of, the authorities were not paying proper attention. to ensure that, that safety regulations were being met. And ultimately there was a fire and many, many victims that, that could have been avoided had proper regulations been in place. Now, I'm not sure. Yeah, I can't remember any of the exact details, but I remember it making an impression on me. And I remember, you know, there were these protests all across the world, really, I believe, of Romanians outside of Romania who stood in front of embassies and who protested and who organized. And I thought it was very powerful. And I thought also for Austrians to organize like that. Back then, I couldn't remember a time when Austrians were so involved in the politics of their country and so passionate about change. So that really, yeah, that impressed me. And that's when, you know, I slowly started, you know, Alex explained to me who Dragnea was. And then I sort of also got to understand why socialism has such a negative connotation for Romanians, because to me, socialism is an ideology that maintains that the state needs to oversee certain processes to create a fair society for all. But of course, to Romanians, there's this whole history behind it that means that it means something completely different to them. And I started understanding how the Socialist Party in Romania is not comparable to the Socialist Party here. And that's how I slowly got into things. And of course, because I'm a journalist, I when there's a big story that's relevant on an EU level, like for example, Dragnea being imprisoned or all of these, a lot of these laws on transparency and trials and these things were covered EU-wide as well. So I covered that. I also covered the time that Florin Iordache showed the middle finger to the EU in Parliament. So there's these little nuggets of gold that that made it all the way to the Austrian news, basically.
And what is your hope for Romania, given its tumultuous past? And obviously, you have seen these glimpses of change, or at least this will of the people to change. What is your hope for the country?
I get the feeling that right now, at least in Bucharest, there's this energy of a city that's still growing and still sort of defining itself, and new places are popping up, and the spirit of building something. I guess my hope would be that spirit can be kept up, and that the Romanian people get the politicians that they deserve. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, it's 2019. They're a European country. I guess my hope would just be that maybe 10 or 20 years from now, most Romanians feel that they're governed by people who they say are generally trustworthy and are generally have their best interests at heart. That's a tall order for any democracy, to be honest. Like, that's a tall order even in Austria. But that's what I would hope. Or at least I would hope that corruption plays less of a role.
I think for Romania, it is fair to say that would be a necessary step to move forward, even though it is quite the milestone, because people are used to a certain system. People are used to doing stuff because they know somebody and they're indebted to somebody else, or they just don't think that it really matters.
Absolutely. I think the kind of system that you grew up in hugely influences your entire outlook on life. And I think breaking these kinds of patterns it's not enough to vote in a new government and think that the problem is going to go away. There's cultural change probably that needs to happen when you have these kinds of entrenched patterns. And I think the process is a lot more difficult than just voting in new guys, you know?
Oh, for sure. Because cultural change is individual change. And that is quite the adventure.
Yeah.
But the good part is that indeed, the Romanian people do have it in their past as well. I mean, we have seen people with potential. We have seen periods of time in Romania flourished. So it is possible. It's just a matter of doing it and also being patient with each other. Because I think, again, it boils down to understanding what kind of heavy change this would be for people and understanding that we all need to review a bit of our behavior. And I think this is this would go also on a global scale very much in the same direction. Like, guys, let's just try to be more mature, more responsible and be okay with who we are and then take it from there.
For sure. I mean, I think these issues and things that Romania is facing, they're definitely not the only country facing them. And there's definitely a lot of countries globally, yeah, that struggle with similar. So it's not as though, you know, this is a unique case.
But the good part is that there is hope, and that is important.
There's always hope. There's always hope until you die. And even then, there's hope.
But cool. We're getting to the last part of the interview. I have two more questions for you. What words of wisdom would you have in general for those who want to discover more about Romania? So for the internationals who are looking into Romania maybe as their next moving step or just to visit, what would you advise them?
I mean, I would say the same thing that I would say to anyone who's thinking of moving to a different country is just learn the language. Romanian is a very easy language to learn. It's part of the Romance languages, so like French, Italian, Spanish, or Portuguese. It has a very simple grammar. It will give you access to a Romania that you would not otherwise have access to. I'm still learning. I read some books in Romanian, or try to read some books in Romanian. I read some articles in Romanian occasionally. I am nowhere near as good at speaking as I am at understanding. At this point, I understand most of everything that I read. It just gives you insights that you wouldn't otherwise get.
You also go on Utopia Group?
Yes, I follow Utopia Group. Some of their jokes are a bit too much for me, but a lot of them are funny. Again, with a sense of humor, like some of their jokes are like, to me, this is not something that you should be laughing at. But that's the same cultural difference that I mentioned earlier. Otherwise, yeah, get used to, I mean, if you're moving on a Western European salary, get used to living like a king for now. This might change in the next couple of years, but for now. And people are going to be very, very friendly, so you don't need to be worried about that. Yeah, I think, you know, it's a safe country to move to. It's a safe country to travel in. I can't think of any tips that I wouldn't give to anyone else who is traveling, really.
Except the learning Romanian part, that might be a bit not useful for them if they're not going to Romania.
Obviously. So, yeah, so learning, yeah, definitely I would advise learning Romanian, and it's a really beautiful language as well. It sounds really beautiful. So
cool. And the last question, what are your wishes for 2020 for yourself and for other people and for the listeners?
So let me start with the easy part. To anyone who's listening, I hope you have a wonderful year, 2020, full of love and prosperity and health and everything else that you may wish for. I hope you get to visit Romania. It's a beautiful country. For the world, I would wish for a little bit more stability. There's going to be presidential elections in the U.S., so let's hope that they bring a little bit more stability. For myself, I love my job right now. This is a podcast. People are listening, but I'm just going to be brutally honest. I love my job right now. I love my life. I just wish that I just want to find love. That's the only puzzle piece that's missing. So that's my wish for 2020.
Let's wish that to everyone, because I think even people who have found the love of their life and have the family and all of that, a little bit of love will never hurt.
A little bit of love never hurts. So yeah, love for everyone.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Lady, for the time and for the talk and for the amazing opinions.
You're very welcome. I very much enjoyed it. I very much, it's always nice, you know, I'm a journalist, so it's always nice when someone asks me for my opinions for a change. It's like, what you want? You want to hear from me, really?
Thank you so much. You have listened to episode 5 of the Wonders podcast. For 2020, our New Year's resolution is to make way for more curiosity-based conversations like this one and expand the relationship between Romania and its international community. We wish to have you by our side in making this happen. And one way you can do that is by showing your support and subscribing to our podcast wherever you are listening. On Spotify, iTunes, Deezer, YouTube, or on any other podcast app of your choice, we're probably there. So give us a like, give us a subscribe, and show your love. Hear you in the next one. Mulțumesc, 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 and la revedere. Da na 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 da, baby, let's talk about love, baby. Da, na, na, na. Yeah, I don't remember the lyrics to the song, but it's okay.